your wonderful blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, we are incredibly grateful of your redeeming grace that is seen in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless our time together. I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts and in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified with our response to your word. I pray also for the children's ministries downstairs. I pray your blessing upon them. And I pray, Lord, you'd bless the preaching of your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. At the moment of our salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives. And instantly, his influence and his power is available to help us and to guide us and to direct us. The Spirit of God helps us to choose what is right. He helps us to do what is right. He helps us to live right. And he helps us to mature as a Christian. As we mature as Christians, it goes from doing and choosing from right and wrong. We understand that. We understand that, but we choose what is good and what is best. And yet, in today's busy pace, it is not uncommon for many Christians to revert back to fleshly patterns of decision-making. I want to read this a text here, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 in our Bibles. Galatians 5, verse 16, it says, "This I say then," this is Paul writing to the church of Galatia, he says, "walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." The Apostle Paul speaks of the struggle within the Christian life. And he talks about the fact that within him there's a war that is taking place. Romans 7, verse 14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For the which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." And so this is the struggle that he talks about in our hearts as believers. This fight for right and for wrong, and this fight for good and for evil. And it really does give us insight, these scriptures, of the human heart, what we struggle with as well, if we were honest. Now, if you've ever battled in your life something that maybe was bad for you or could harm you, and you've struggled with the drawl of that temptation, then you know exactly what Paul is talking about in this passage of scripture. Because not every time we know to make right decisions, not every time we know to make those right decisions do we actually make those right decisions. Now, another man that struggled with this was Peter. And even as Jesus experienced the cruel questioning of Caiaphas and Pilate, John the Apostle, he's beside the Lord Jesus during this time. And yet in our text here this morning, we notice something fascinating about Peter. Here is Peter, and he's warming himself at the enemy's fire. He's not near Jesus. He's not walking with Jesus. He's distant from Jesus. And I find it also incredible how far Peter had gone in just 10 verses. Now, I know a lot happens in those 10 verses, but it's just incredible to me of how far Peter goes down in just 17 verses in the Bible. In John chapter 18 in verse 10, the Bible says, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, he drew it, and he smote the high priest's servant, and he cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus." And so we notice something about Peter in the scripture. First of all, he had zeal without understanding. I mean, he acted before he was thinking. The flesh cannot fulfill spiritual purposes. And I don't really think, when I read this text, I don't think that Peter was aiming for his ear. I think he missed his target. And so Peter was zealous, but he had the lack of understanding in the decision making. And yet I find a man who's bold. Yet I find a man who is eager to stand in difficult times. And then we notice our text in verse 27. 17 verses down the road. And the Bible says, then Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. I just find it interesting how a man can go from being bold and courageous to a coward in 17 verses. And it's just really important for us to understand the regression of the flesh. And if we allow the flesh to dictate our direction, it never brings us closer to God. It always draws us away from the Lord. And yet there we find in this passage of Scripture something incredible, and that is the amazing grace of God. I want us to notice some thoughts here this morning, if I could. First of all, the regression of Peter. Peter had begun a life of faith and following Jesus, and yet we see that he began to stray from the Lord. Now, there's some characteristic flaws of Peter's life that we notice through the Scriptures. And I'm going to look at some here. Not that we're trying to pick on Peter, but I think these are evident. And I think Peter's in the Bible because we see ourselves a lot in Peter. And so I'm going to kind of look at it's a mirror looking at our own heart here today. I think we see in this passage of Scripture, first of all, Peter was a proud man. Peter was a proud man. Peter was self-sufficient. You know, pride, someone said, is the only disease that makes everyone sick but the person that has it. Pride is interesting. I mean, pride is something that affects every area of our life. And if that root of pride begins to grow in your heart and in your life, it impacts so many different things. Peter thought that he was stronger than every other Christian around him. And in fact, the Bible says in John chapter 13, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? And Jesus answered him, whither I goest, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterward. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him. Now, Jesus knows our heart, and he knows who we really are. He says, thou shalt lay down thy life for my sake. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. The question there, Jesus is saying, you're going to lay down your life for me? And then Jesus said, the cock shall crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And so Jesus is revealing who Peter really is. Peter said, Lord, don't you know I'll die for you? And Jesus says, you'll die for me, Peter? Don't you know that you will deny me three times? You don't even know your own human heart. And the truth is, we don't know our own human heart. Pride always gives us a high view or a high opinion of ourselves. When I was a kid, my uncle built an ice boat. I don't know if you know what an ice boat is, but he was pretty excited. We lived in Nova Scotia, and we had a giant pond behind our house. It was massive. And my uncle had this great idea. He was going to build an ice boat, and on windy days, he was going to sail across that pond. And my cousin and I, we watched him begin to construct this ice boat. And I mean, it looked slick. It was just a wonderful ice boat that he started to put together. And as he was building this, he kept saying, boys, I wish you could use this, but it's going to be much too fast. Boys, I wish you were able to enjoy this, but, you know, we better leave it to the professionals. This is going to be far too dangerous for you to ever use. And so he kept talking about how slick it was going to be and how fast it was going to be and how amazing this ice boat was going to be. And as I sat and listened to him, I started to believe it. I started to believe this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to our small town. I mean, he's going to build this incredible ice boat and everyone's going to gather around. And so my cousin and I, we started to talk and we decided we were going to build our own. He wasn't going to let us use his, and I understand it was, you know, it was sleek and professional, and so we decided we were going to build our own ice boat. And so we got some old wood and slapped it together, and we put some old skates on it, and we took a sheet from my parents' house. I don't think I even asked. We grabbed that sheet, and we attached it to that ice boat, and the day came to test them both out. My uncle, he brought his down to the pond and we dragged ours down to the pond. I mean, his looked so good. It was so nice. It had all the bells and the whistles. I mean, you could turn that sail and you could go against the wind and in the wind and all the things you'd ever want in an ice boat. And we just grabbed the rope and we threw our sail up and we were ready to go. And a gust of wind happened, and we were sitting on that ice boat, and all of a sudden, ours shot out into the pond, and I mean, it was going so fast, we didn't know what to do. We weren't expecting it to go that fast. We were shooting across that pond at full speed, and as I was, as a kid, I remember this, as I was shooting across that pond, I looked back, and I saw my uncle in the corner, and he was going like this, trying to get his to move. His ice boat never did leave the bank of that pond. And we took that winter and we enjoyed it. The last time I remember that ice boat that he had, he took it and he burnt it. It never worked. You know, pride keeps us on the sidelines. Sometimes we think we're so good and we're so strong and that we could never fall into that sin or we could never do that or we could never be involved in that. And it's easy for us to think too highly of ourselves. And Peter said, Lord, I am ready to die for you. And Jesus responded, he said, Peter, you're not. You're not. You know, Peter underestimated the persistency of the devil. Can we go to Luke chapter 22 in our Bibles? Luke chapter 22. And notice what the Bible says. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 31. Peter underestimated the persistency of Lucifer. And we have to remember today that we are enemies of the devil because the devil hates God. And if you're a Christian today, it means he hates you. And the Bible says in verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. The reality is in the Christian life, we're not relying on our power. We're not relying on our strength. We are relying on the power of God. The Bible says it this way in Romans 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You see, Peter was proud. And Peter thought that he was able to kind of just get through the Christian life with very little effort, but he didn't understand the devil's a roaring lion. He's seeking who he may devour. I think also not only was Peter proud, but I think from our text we understand Peter was also prayerless. Matthew chapter 26 is a great text for that, verse 34. Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and he saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thou be, but thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and he findeth them asleep. And he saith, look at this, he saith unto Peter. You say, why is he giving Peter a hard time? Because he just told him that Satan desires to have him. Peter just said, I'm going to die for you. And Jesus said, you're going to deny me. He's saying, Peter, hey, you need to pray. And the Bible says, he saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Jesus said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Often when Christians think that they are strong, they become passive when it comes to prayer. They become passive when it comes to Bible study. They become passive when it comes to church. They think that they will be okay. And yet we find in the life of Peter that he was not okay in the moments that mattered. I think also Peter was passive in verse number 22, in verses chapter 22 of Luke, in verse 54. The Bible says, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter, look at this, this expression, verse 54 of Luke chapter 22. It's important. The Bible says, and Peter followed afar off. When we follow Jesus afar off, it's going to affect our Christian life in a negative way. We need to be actively seeking the face of God in prayer. We need to be seeking the face of God and reading the Bible. And the Bible says in this scripture that Peter was afar off. Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. You see, we need prayer. We need to read our Bibles. We need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. If we are not actively involved in these things, and I tell you here today, not through some prophetic vision, but through biblical truth, you will regress in your Christian life from the testimony of Peter. We notice Peter's regression in this passage of Scripture. But secondly, can we notice Peter's restoration? His restoration. And so after the death of the Lord Jesus, Peter returns to his fishing trade. He is obviously very despondent of the events that took place. I mean, I think that in Peter's mind, he doesn't believe that he could ever serve the Lord ever again. He had denied the Lord three times. Jesus prophesied that it would take place. And I think in the heart of Peter, he just thinks his ministry is over. Someone said this, you can choose the sin, but you can't choose the consequences of that sin. And I think that Peter was dealing, of course, in his own heart, the guilt that he was experiencing because of that decision that he made. But I love John chapter 21. Can we turn there? John chapter 21 is a passage, I believe, of restoring grace. And look what the Bible says in John chapter 21 and verse number 3 together. John chapter 21, verse number 3. The Bible says, Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth, and they entered into a ship immediately. And that night, they caught nothing. They caught nothing. Now, John chapter 23 gives us the blueprint of how Jesus responded to Peter's sin. And I want us to look at this scripture here. First of all, we notice that Jesus came to him. Isn't that wonderful that Jesus came to Peter in his condition, in his need? He came to him just where he was. Jesus told the women at the tomb when he was resurrected, he said, go tell the disciples that I live. And I like this. He said, and go tell Peter as well that I'm alive. And so Jesus came to Peter in John chapter 21, verse number 12. Can we read it together? It says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon, to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time. Why the third time? Well, he denied him three times. Three times. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him. Now here's the premise of what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, follow me, follow me. You know, I heard the story of a woman who became pregnant in Korea. And the father was an American soldier, and he returned to the States and never knew the baby. And the mother tried to raise that little girl the best that she possibly could. And for 7 years, she tried to do that until the rejection that she faced was just far too much. She did something that probably no one in this room would ever even think about doing. She abandoned that little girl to the streets. That little girl was ruthlessly taunted by people. She was called, they called her the ugliest word in the Korean language, which represented alien devil. And it didn't take long for this little girl to start to draw conclusions about herself based on the way that people treated her, based on the way that she lived her life. And for 2 years, she lived her life in the streets until finally she made her way to an orphanage. And one day word came that a couple from America was going to adopt a little boy. And all the children in the orphanage, I read in this article, got really excited because this couple was going to come. And even though it was going to be for a little boy, I mean, the reality is that they were all still pretty excited that one of the children in that orphanage would finally have a home. And this is the testimony of the little girl. This is what she said. She said, it was like Goliath had come back to life. I saw the man with his huge hands lift up every little baby. I knew he loved every one of them and as his own. I saw tears, this little girl penned, running down his face, and I knew if they could, that couple would have taken all of them home with them. He saw me out of the corner of his eye. Now let me tell you, I was 9 years old, but I didn't even weigh 30 pounds. She said, I was a scrawny thing. I had worms in my body. I had lice in my hair. I had boils all over my body. I was full of scars. She said, I wasn't a pretty sight. But that man came over to me, and he began rattling away something in English. And I looked up with him with those big eyes. And he took his hand and he laid it on my face. And I said to the worker beside me, I said, what is he saying? And the worker said, he's saying, I want this child. This child is mine. You know, we were sinners. We were unlovable. We were the enemies of God, the Bible says. And for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. You see, God came to us when we were at our worst. We were unclean and lost, and Jesus reached out to us, as John Newton wonderfully penned, by his amazing grace. And Jesus came to Peter. And we find some truths about Peter's life. First of all, we see that Jesus cleaned him. And maybe you're Peter this morning. Maybe you've gotten away from the heart of God. Maybe you've taken your own pathway and you've made some mistakes. You made some mistakes down the road in your life. And maybe you think in your mind, I don't think God could ever use me again. Well, I want you to know that Jesus comes to us just as we are. And it's that amazing grace that changes us and makes us to what we ought to be. We see that Jesus also confronts the failure of Peter. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And verse number 15, notice Jesus doesn't call him Peter here, the rock. He calls him Simon because this name is connected with his weakness. And Christ gently brings Peter face to face with his failure. Three times you denied me. Three times I'll ask you the question, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? I think also Jesus examined his love. The question was about love. Why? Because love is the foundation of our true service. The reality is we will never do anything for God unless it is out of a heart of love. We love him because he first loved us. And he showed us that grace. We were that child. We were unlovable. And God loved us and showed us grace. Peter once said boldly, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet shall I not be offended. And now we see Peter humbly saying, Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. You see, he confronts us where we are. Jesus confronts us with our failures. He doesn't sweep them under the rug and ignore them. No, he shows us our heart and who we are. And this is where his grace begins. I think Jesus also restored his purpose. Each answer that Jesus gives is followed by this incredible command, feed my lambs, Peter. Feed my sheep, Peter. Feed my sheep, Peter. This indeed is remarkable because it shows us God's purpose for our life, that he wants us to serve him through his strength. I think also Jesus revealed Peter's future. In verse number 18, Jesus tells Peter, you know what, Peter, one day you will die for me. But it's going to be a long time. You're going to be old and they're going to carry you where you don't want to go. And one day you will die for me, but it's not now. And I want you to know that your failure did not cancel my plan. I still have a purpose for your life. And tradition tells us that Peter was crucified upside down because he says he wasn't worthy to be crucified like the Lord. We see Jesus called him to follow him again. And the final words that he gives to Peter in verse 19 is, follow me. And these words are true for every Christian here this morning. Follow me. Peter takes a brief moment and he looks at John the apostle, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he said, Lord, what will this man do? And Jesus said, Peter, you don't worry about John. You just follow me. You just follow me. You just do what is right. You just live the Christian life. I think in our culture, in our society, we're so busy blaming people for all the mistakes that we made. And Jesus is saying, listen, you need to own it, Peter, and you need to make good decisions and follow me in your life. Follow me. Follow me is the message we have. And I'm not saying you wait till tomorrow. I'm not saying until a day is right. No, I'm saying today, right now, Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. Thirdly, I want us to notice the response of Peter. The response of Peter. Now, Peter is now renewed in this grace of God. And God's grace is evident in his life. I think of the Apostle Paul and God's grace in his life. You know, the Bible says that Paul wasted the church. He persecuted the church. And God converted him and changed his life. And he became a preacher. And he writes it to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this is not some, you know, Paul throwing up his hands saying, well, I am what I am in disgust. No, this is Paul saying, I am what I am and who I am because of God's grace in my life. This is a positive message today. And I say to you today, I have no idea where I would be today except for the grace of God in my life. I don't know where I would be. It probably wouldn't be behind a pulpit preaching this message. I have no idea where I would be except for God's grace in my life each and every day. And we need God's grace to guide us. And God's grace was evident in Peter's life. He experienced that same grace that Paul experienced. And now Jesus said, you know, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desires to have you when you're converted or when you're turned in the right direction. He says, I want you to strengthen your brethren. And we read 1 Peter and 2 Peter. You know what that is? That's Peter obeying God. He's strengthening the brethren. And no wonder he writes, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. He knew exactly what that felt like to be a target of Satan. And so we notice this restoring grace in Peter's life. We notice, first of all, Peter preaches the truth of Christ. Can you imagine the excitement regarding the preaching at Pentecost? And Peter standing up and preaching the Bible, the excitement that Peter had for truth. The excitement that Peter had for the Word of God, it was evident in this man's life. There's no doubt about it. I heard the story of a man who went to see his doctor for advice to try to be cured of his snoring. And the doctor asked him, he says, does your snoring disturb your wife? And the man said, disturb my wife? It disturbs the entire congregation. I don't know your feeling about preaching or teaching, but Bible preaching is never to make you feel bad. It is always to direct you to make a decision for Jesus Christ. And Peter was excited about the Bible. He was excited about God's grace. He writes to the believers who are scattered abroad in 1 Peter. He says, I'm writing to stir you up, because he was excited about what God was doing in his life. And so Acts chapter number 2, he gives that sermon, and he stood with boldness. And he stood with conviction, and he stood with power, and he preached, thus saith the Lord. And God used that message in many people's lives. I think Peter proclaimed the work of Christ. In Acts chapter 4, he stands before the religious leaders, and he defends the work of God and the word of God. You see, Peter was just an ordinary fisherman. You say, well, God could never use me. Peter was just an ordinary fisherman, but he was used of an extraordinary God. And we know from Peter's life, he wasn't perfect. Peter made mistakes, but he was a man who was led by the grace of God each and every day. And it was the grace of God that placed this man back on the righteous path, on the right way. And God still used his life in an incredible way. And I invite you today to come to the grace of God. If you're not a Christian today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then the Bible says today's the acceptable time. Today's the day of salvation. If you feel that you've strayed away from the Lord, maybe you're kind of following from a distance, I say to you to embrace the grace of God today and make decisions that would honor the Lord. Someone said this, there is more grace in God's heart than there's sin in your past. God can make something from your life if you would trust in him, if you would turn to him. And so my question today as we close our message is, would you come to Jesus today? Would you make a decision for him? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the wonderful opportunity that we have to be